Classic Hits, 98.9 WJEZ. It is the first Friday in March, and our calendar says that is a day reserved for the Livingston County State's Attorney. His name is Randy Ednock. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
It is good to have you here, as always, because there are always issues going on, and you can give us an actual professional legal point of view, as opposed to my point of view, which counts for very little. So
I think my wife would agree in regards to my point of view. So it's, but I appreciate that.
All right. Well, obviously the hot button issue for the last few weeks has been school security.
Sure.
So in terms of your position as state's attorney, your thoughts on the subject?
You know, it's a difficult subject. It's a terrible subject to have to even think about, and it's something that we do deal with on occasion in the state's attorney's office. And it, unfortunately for us, though, we're kind of a what I like to say is we're an after the fact type office, in that we're oftentimes dealing with crimes or incidents after they've occurred, and then we're called to hold individuals accountable for it, or try to come up with better ways to maybe address the situation should it happen in the future. And so that's something that my office does. We work with law enforcement a lot. You know, we do get from time to time those disgruntled students or whoever that, you know, sometimes, thankfully, up until this point in Livingston County, they have just been threats. Nothing that has actually occurred, but that's not to say that it couldn't in the future. And so, yeah, we work with law enforcement. I know Sheriff Childress has done an excellent job with his Safer Schools initiative, something he's talked a lot about, and that's making sure that the cameras in all the schools are hooked up to our the Sheriff's Department, so that that way, in the event that we do have a school shooting, law enforcement can see where it's at, where it's going on, and, you know, up to the minute, you know, live feeds. And so, that's something that I worked with the sheriff on in terms of getting agreements with the schools, but that was really his thing that he did and his baby, and I applaud him for that, because that's been an excellent program for to ensure that our schools stay safe here in Livingston County.
Now, I think most of us, even lay people, are familiar with terms like manslaughter, murder, the different things. If I get angry at someone and wind up taking their life, there
sure
are various levels of law that I've incurred, but if a person commits one of these horrendous crimes,
mm-hmm,
is there a level of crime that, or a chapter of law that takes that into account, that they've committed this horrendous crime, or is it just tried as a murder case?
Well, it's essentially tried as a murder case. Now, eventually, you know, depending on the number of deaths that you have, that's the number of murders that you're going to be charged with. But there's other areas that we, you know, when we deal with, like I said, we've had individuals call in bomb threats to school sometimes because it's finals time and they want to get out of class. You know, that's kind of a lighthearted moment, but it's not lighthearted at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's certain things, you know, students, when they make threats like this, when they make turn these situations into something much bigger than it needed to be, you know, they can be charged with crimes, and we have in the past. And you hate to think of it, but one of the things that we look at, and one of the statutes that we look at, are making of a terrorist threat. And you think terrorism, you know, you think of 9/11, you think of things like that. Really, under Illinois law, making a terrorist threat is just really making a threat that endangers the life or safety of a number of people, not
mm-hmm
just one. And so that really does encompass this situation where we have school shooters. Now, you know, a lot of times, unfortunately, the individuals that are doing it, they may suffer from some sort of mental health disorder or mental disability that they don't understand what they're really doing. And so we have to take that into account. We deal with those situations accordingly as well. But yeah, it's a scary subject. It's not something that people like to talk about or even think about. But unfortunately, it's one that we do to make sure that we can, you know, in the event that it happens, we can do what we need to do.
We're talking with Randy Ednock this morning. He is the state's attorney for Livingston County. Let's talk about something a little more uplifting. There is some new legislation on the books,
mm-hmm,
thanks to initiatives put forward from your office.
Yeah,
so can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. In fact, we are very fortunate here in Livingston County to have receptive senators as well as congressmen. Congressman Bennett, his office is just two doors down, and I have worked a lot recently on some new laws, trying to get some new laws passed, most of them having to do with victims' rights, something that I take near and dear to my heart in my office. But one such that potentially be going down to Springfield on Tuesday and testifying in front of Congress regarding these two bills, one regarding restitution and the idea that when a victim is they have property damage or loss of money or loss of property in some regard due to a criminal act, you know, that they can be made whole. The defendant can be ordered to pay restitution and repay them for what damage was done. And one of the things that we often see when a defendant is pleads guilty and is sentenced, or is found guilty and is sentenced, is that we've got all these fines, fees, costs, and assessments that the state of Illinois mandates we take. Everybody gets their piece of the pie, and they get first, and the restitution comes out later. And so we've got defendants, if we can get them to pay their fines and costs in the first place, which is always a struggle, oftentimes it's victims who get their money last, and that, mm-hmm. that just should not be. And so one of the pieces of legislation that we proposed would be that restitution, if it's not paid first, once a defendant starts paying, it's paid close to the top anyway. That way the people who, you know, the victims, those that have done nothing wrong, that are there by no fault of their own, can be made whole. And that's, to me, that's what the criminal justice system is there for. So that's one piece of legislation we're looking into. There's other ones regarding child endangerment, revamping those laws so that we can seek harsher penalties for those that truly neglect and or abuse children. That's something that that the office has been working on lately.
And sometimes when you talk about these things, it becomes interesting because you would think that the victim would always be at the top of people's minds. But, of course, in your office, your priority is making sure that you get sound prosecutions for the people who committed the wrong, not necessarily doing the more social end of it
right.
and helping the people who are victimized.
Yes, we live in a world, in a criminal justice system. I think it's the best in the world. But what that means is that we bend over backwards to ensure that defendants, that criminals, that their constitutional rights are protected, and that we give them every right, that we give them every due process that they need, that they deserve, that this country protects. But oftentimes what that means is that victims get lost in the shuffle, and that oftentimes it's their voice that doesn't get heard. And so something that my office does on a daily basis is strive to make sure that victims have a voice when it comes to crime, that they are represented in court, that people that do them harm are held accountable. And we work with victims on a daily basis. We have a newer addition to the office, Amanda Cleary. She's our victim witness coordinator, and she is she hit the ground running when she came this past summer, and is doing a wonderful job providing, you know, services, whatever victims need, plugging them into the services that they need, and just being the kind of a liaison with our office, letting them know where we're at in the court process, letting them know, you know, where we're at when it comes to trials, things like that, so that they can feel like they've got a say in what's going on in our criminal justice system.
You mentioned something a moment ago in terms of getting those convicted to cooperate with a restitution plan. And mm-hmm. The old saying is you can't get blood from a stone. So can you seize assets from an individual who may have some if they've committed a crime?
You know, we can, depending on what the crime is. And if we can trace that, you know, if for example, an easy example is theft. If somebody is stealing money from an individual and we can trace, and then they go out and they buy a new car or they buy some new piece of property, if we can trace the proceeds of that theft, if we can trace that money that they stole into, you know, pumping into a house or a car or something to that effect, we can seize those things, and we can forfeit them. We can, you know, try to recoup some of that money for those victims. So that's something we do. You know, we have this idea, you know, we want to do away with what's called debtor's prison, where we put people in prison or in jail because they simply owe money. Mm-hmm. I guess I take a little bit of a different approach in that regard, is that we're not putting people in jail because they're not paying their car loan. We're putting people in jail because they're not paying back victims for the crimes that they committed. And so that's sometimes that's hard. It's hard to do. It's hard to convince judges and others that, you know, that's the case. But one thing that I've always found is that when individuals owe a substantial amount of money, you know, they'll come to court, they'll tell the judge, look, I don't have it. I don't have it, judge. I've got, you know, I got to spend it on this, this, and this. But the moment that you tell them, okay, now you're going to go to jail, they can magically come up with the money. And so it's an interesting dynamic, one that we deal with in court often. But really, again, the goal being trying to, you know, make sure that victims have their day in court and are made whole for these crimes.
Randy Adnock is the state's attorney in Livingston County. As always, we've eaten up our time very quickly, Randy.
That happens.
It is good to know that these kinds of initiatives are moving forward, and it's always good talking with you. We'll have you back as we get a little closer to spring. We'll see what's happening then.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you.
I'm Todd Weinbrenner. This is the Community Forum on Classic Hits, 98.9 WJEZ.